Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. We'll read verses 26 through 31 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou call his name Jesus. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for our church and the Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you that we have a preacher that is yielded to you and to your wisdom and to your power. Father, please, as he preaches to us, may we be as yielded to the preaching as he has been to you. Please help us. We're a needy people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Today's truth is something that I want for you. I remember as a child, or actually as a young teenager, giving my mother a Christmas gift one year. Told a bit of the story in a service here a few weeks ago. That was the year that I discovered the thrill of giving, and where giving was more important than receiving. I remember the thrill of giving something that I knew would help, and I knew it was something that my mother wanted. This morning, the sermon that I'm going to preach to you, I hope you'll receive it as a gift from someone that loves you. I want you to have what this sermon produces. From my heart, I desire that you have what I'm about to talk about. I want it for my children. I want my children to have what I'm about to teach. I want it for my staff. I wish that every staff man, every person that's on this staff, whether it be a man or a lady, I wish for them that they would have what this truth produces. I want it for my friends. This church, I'm the pastor, but I'm your friend. And I want it for every person here that are my friends. I want you to have it. I have something for you today. I hope you don't miss it. I've bundled it in a little package. We're going to open it up in a moment. And I think if you'll take advantage of the truth, you'll walk away and say, boy, I really got a nice gift this morning. I want it for our teenagers here at the church. Young people, I love you. I have something for you today. I hope you don't miss it. I hope in your immaturity, you don't sit there and talk and play and miss the gift that I have for you. Because the gift I have for you is very valuable. It is very valuable. You can't go out and buy it off of a shelf somewhere. But I have something for you. I don't mean this the wrong way, but I want it for my people. It is my honor to be the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. If you're a member of this church, then I very affectionately consider you one of my people. I know we're the Lord's people, but I get to be an under-shepherd, and you're the flock. And it is my privilege to be your pastor, and I want so desperately for you to get what this gift will render to you. So from deep within my being, I desire that you have what today's truth provides because of what you'll get out of it. Not only that, eventually it will help the work of God. You know, there are some of you, you would just love it if a Donald Trump would walk into your life and show favor upon you, begin to solve all your problems. For a Bill Gates to step into your life suddenly out of nowhere, and for him to show favor upon you. You would say, oh, wouldn't that just be incredible? If Oprah Winfrey, who may be the wealthiest woman in the United States of America today, if she were to step into your life and favor you and begin to tie up all the loose ends and fix your life financially, oh, you would love that. If it were Martha Stewart, you said, boy, look, she just suddenly showed up at my house and look at what she gave me and look at what I have, look at what she has done for me. Oh, you'd be so excited about it. Well, I can give you something better than that. I can offer you something better than that. In the story that we read earlier, we see here the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, being chosen to give birth to the Christ child. Out of all the thousands of women on the earth, it was Mary that was chosen. What an honor. What a privilege. In verse number 28 of the passage that we read from Luke chapter 1, it says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Notice something there. The Bible deems Mary highly favored. Wow. She was favored of God. Now, you'd like to be favored of Bill Gates, or you'd like to be favored of Oprah Winfrey. You'd like to be favored of Donald Trump. Here the Bible says that Mary was favored of God. And Mary was not just favored, she was highly favored. Some of you that your life doesn't seem to go well, and things seem to fall apart on you routinely, I would recommend you listen real carefully to this because you desperately, I believe somebody's life depends on this sermon. That's how serious I think this truth is. Here the Bible says that Mary was favored of God. But not only favored, she was highly favored. Could a human being be favored of God? Could a human being be highly favored of God? But wait, it is actually repeated. It is said first time in verse number 28. Then you read down to verse number 30 and the Bible says, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Huh. I studied this last few weeks on the subject of the favor of God. When I read about someone being favored of God, I said, Oh my, there's a way to be favored of God. And then I noticed there's a way to be highly favored of God. How would you like to be favored of God? To be favored of God? How exciting. There were others that the Bible says were favored of God. The Bible says of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus found favor with God. But wait, you say, well, that's the Christ child. That's the God-man. But wait, Mary, she was just a woman, just like you. Hey, Samuel was a human being. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 2:26 says, And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor with both the Lord and also with men. Now, here's a child or a teenager that found favor with God. We see Jesus, an adult man that was favored with God. We see Mary, a woman that was favored with God. Hey, do you realize then, in saying every woman in here, you could be favored of God. Every man in here, you could be favored of God. Every child, every young person in here, you could have this very thing. You could find favor with God. The Bible says of David in Acts chapter 7, verse 45 and 46, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possessions of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God. David had found favor with God. Mary had found favor with God. Samuel had found favor with God. Jesus had found favor with God. How incredible to be favored of God. This could be the answer to your problems. This could be your break in life to get the favor of God. You've been waiting for your ship to come in. This morning may be the day that it docks for you. Hey, you could start your new year out right. Let me tell you how to start your new year out good and strong. Get the favor of God. Hey, some of you've said, I've just never got the breaks in life that I feel like I deserve. Things have never fallen into place for me. Life has never produced for me some of the things that I wish that it would. Well, let me tell you this morning, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm tingling from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes right now because I know what I'm about to tell you could change your life. It could revolutionize some of you if you just take it seriously. And listen, it's in the Bible. There are human beings that had the favor of God. Some of you are going to receive the help this morning that you've always needed. God's help. You need to get the favor of God in your life. Now let me explain. God loves everybody. God favors some who will pay the price to be favored. If you're here today, let me say to you, that balcony full of people, God loves you. God loves you all. God loves those of you on this lower floor. God loves those of you on the platform. But I do have to tell you, God loves us all, but there are some who have God's favor. This thing of God's favor is not found about every single person in the Bible. This thing of God's favor is not passed out like penny pieces of candy. Oh, no. No, but it is available. God's favor. Let's see what the Bible teaches about the favor of God. Let me say to you, first of all, if you're alive, that is God expressing his desire to favor you. If you're alive, that is God's desire to express the potential of you having his favor. In Job chapter 10, verse number 12, the Bible says, thou hast granted me life and favor. Ushers, you can help in the back. Everybody else just pay right attention right this way. The Bible says in Job chapter 10, verse number 12, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Job here is stating that God had given him life and favor. You see, Job is saying, I'm still alive, and that shows that God has favored me in some way. Listen, if you're here today and you say, Brother Owens, my life has not been real good, and things have not gone real well for me, and you're talking about God's favor, I've already began to reach up to the knob and turn you on to the off position because you're talking to somebody else. And there are people in this room, your life has been bad. Life has not been as good for you as what you wish it could be. And somehow the preacher comes along and begins to talk about this wonderful, magnificent, excellent possibility of having the favor of God. And you say, I don't qualify. I've got the first qualification is this. You're alive. You see, if you're alive, it means that God's favor is still available to you. Because if God was no longer going to give you the potential of his favor, he could kill you and take you on to heaven or take you on to hell. But for some reason, you're alive. And Job said, thou hast granted me life and favor. If you're still alive, that means God still has a plan for you. And everything that my God does is good. And that means if God has a plan for you, God has a good plan for you. If you're alive, that means you can step up into the line of people desiring to have God's favor. And in that instance, you qualify. The first qualification to possibly have God's favor is you got to be alive. Pinch yourself. And if you say, yeah, that's me, then guess what? Brother English, I didn't say to pinch Bob Jones. Favor. Favor. If you're alive, then that means that you have the potential of having God's favor. If you're alive, God has expressed his desire to favor you. Life is one of the foundational needs that can help us to step up into God's favor. Number two, If you're saved, then God has expressed his desire to favor you. The Bible says in Psalm 5:12, "For thou, O Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Now, the Bible teaches us that when we get saved, we take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are not saved by our own righteousness. We are saved by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here the Bible is talking about saved people. There is a certain favor that God shows with them. If you're saved, it's definitely a sign of the beginning stages of the favor of God. And if you don't believe it, hey, just think of all the people that are not saved. They are not favored right now. Oh, no. Look, I say to you, number one, if you're still alive, that means being favored of God is still within your reach. It's still within your potential. But if you're here today and you're not only alive, but you're saved, that shows that God has a great plan for your life, some things beyond your own human comprehension. He's already began to show some favor. Oh, let me explain to you the favor of God. If you're saved, you're not going to go to hell. Well, that's God's favor. Hey, if you're saved, you're going to get to go to heaven. You know what? That's God's favor. If you're saved, you have the potential of victory in this life. And that's God's favor, you see. If you're alive and you're saved, you qualify for the favor of God. It's available to you. It's available to you. Oh, but now we see, and most everybody here is saved. Now, there are probably a couple dozen people here who are not. If I were you, I'd get saved this morning, and I'd go ahead and get started with that favor from God. But there's one thing I do know. Everybody here is alive. A couple of you, your eyes are closed. I think you may be dead. We may need to yank you and throw you on the floor and zap you with one of those heart zappers to make sure you're not dead. That's what we ought to do. If it falls asleep in the church, we'll just flop them on the ground and start doing artificial resuscitation. Then they may be dead, you know. But you're alive at least. And if you're saved, you've taken a second step for the favor of God. Now, there are some things that will help you to meet or merit the favor of God. And so number three, let me tell you about some of those things. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs 12:2, it says, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord." A good man. Now here it is. You're alive. You're saved. God comes along and he says, if you want my favor, you're going to have to learn to be good. Talking about a goodness. Being a good person can help you to be favored of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you good to people? Are you good to people? You'll never be favored of God until you're good to people. Because the Bible says a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. The reason why you've not been favored of God is you're not good to people. Maybe you're a mean person. Maybe you always want to make sure you favor yourself. You're always watching out for old number one. Well, this goes back as far back as Christianity goes. Christians are supposed to be good to people. We're to be good to people. Are you good to your neighbors? Are you good to your acquaintances? Are you good to that cashier at Walmart? The young one, the new one, the one that rang up four extra items on your bill, but not intentionally, and you treat him like a criminal. Are you good to the person that you pay pay your gas to? You go down to the gas station and you get your gasoline. Are you good to them? Are you good to the people that you drive on the roads with? Are you good to the people that you work with? Are you good to the people in your church? I'm going to tell you something. There are reasons why there are so few people who actually are favored by God. It's because there are so few people that goodness is still important to them. Are you good to your family members? Hey, why should God be good to you when you won't be good to others? Why should God favor you when all you do is favor yourself? Is there a goodness about you that is noticeable? Has your goodness cost you anything recently? When was the last time your goodness made it tough on you and easier on somebody else? Wake up! You'll never have your life changed if you stay up all night Saturday night and watch the boob tube and then come to church and sleep on the preacher the next day. Say, you trying to be mean? No, I'm trying to give you the most valuable gift I know how to give you. I'm trying to show you how to get the favor of God in your life. And God knows there are some of you, you're going to destroy your life. There are some of you, you are so depressed. You are so down. You are so far behind on victories in your life. And you wonder why. And I'm here to tell you why. You don't have the favor of God on your life. I'm trying to pull you out of the pit. I'm trying to save your life and save your marriage. Wake up and pay attention. I don't think we ought to let today just be another day down at the church house. Let's get the favor of God on our lives. Some of you, it's time to turn your life around. You don't need Bill Gates. You don't need Oprah Winfrey. You need God. You need the favor of God on your life. You say, how am I going to get it? Goodness. Goodness will help you to be favored of God. Hey, finding and living God's wisdom will help you to be favored of God. Listen to this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, 33, 34, listen, it says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. It's talking about wisdom here. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That verse is talking about the wisdom of God. God is coming to us and saying, if you're alive, you have a chance to have my favor. If you're saved, you have a chance to have my favor. But now that you're alive and you're saved, it's time for you to start being good again in life and get out of the dog-eat-dog world and start acting like a good Christian. And it's time for some of you to get the wisdom of God in your life. Here it talks about a Christian's behavior and how we are to be seeking the wisdom of God in our lives. In verse 33 here, it talks about hearing instruction. God said, I can give you favor if when wisdom is being shared, you'll hear it and you'll receive it. That's one reason why I slap my Bible and say, wake up! You'll never, never, never get God's favor if you sit in church and you sleep and you play and you don't concentrate on what's being said. You've got to listen to the wisdom of God. You can't get God's favor if you're not seeking God's wisdom. You listen in church. The Bible says, hear instruction and refuse it not. That means obey the preaching of the Word of God. It says you be watching daily for the wisdom of God. That means you're watching for God's wisdom and living God's wisdom daily, not just on Sunday. You will never have the favor of God if the only time you live for God is on Sunday morning at church. You will have to live for God 24/7. Everywhere you go, saying, oh God, I want to do right. I want your wisdom in my life. I want to think the way you think. I want to see things the way you see it. I want to do it on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday and when I'm at the Christian school during the day and when I'm at home during the night. When I'm with the church people and when I'm not with the church people, I want your wisdom. I'm always looking to see life the way you see it, God. God said, how would you like to have my favor? How would you like to be favored among men? How would you like to have what Bill Gates can't give you? How would you like to have what Oprah Winfrey can't give you? How would you like to have what Martha Stewart can't give you? How would you like to have what Donald Trump can't give you? You can have it. You can qualify. You can be favored of God. Wisdom. 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 Daily, it says, seeking wisdom. Well, tell some of you parents what you need. You need to be begging God for wisdom to rear your children, and you need to beg for it all the time. Oh, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom as I rear my kids. Give me wisdom as I make decisions. Give me wisdom about who their friends should be and should not be. Oh, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. That's what we need. We need the wisdom of God to do right the right way. We need the wisdom of God. You say, what is wisdom, Brother Owens? That's seeing life through the eyes of God. That's looking at everything and saying, how does God see it? You say, well, Brother Owens, now let me tell you, the way I see that, I don't care how you see it. I care how God sees it. That's That's what we've got to figure out. How does God see it? And God said, if you want my favor, he said, first of all, you've got to learn to be good and do it. There ought to be a goodness about you toward people. Secondly, you ought to desire to have the wisdom of God in your life. Number three, you need to learn to pray. Listen to this verse. Job 33:26, it says, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. He shall be favorable unto him. Let's just stop fooling each other. I know very few people that know how to pray. Why not people that can talk? But I know very few that really know how to get a hold of God. You say, but always, I'd like God's blessing. I'd like his favor on my business. I like his favor on my family. I like his favor on my marriage. Oh, God, I want your favor. I'm going to ask you a question then. You ever really spend any time with God? I know you went through your routine. I'm talking about you truly made a connection with God. I'm not talking about casual prayer. I'm not talking about the prayer game. I'm not talking about the, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about over the teeth and through the gums, watch out stomach, here it comes. I'm not talking about the public prayer that we practice so we can impress everybody. I'm talking about people that get a hold of God. And when they've been there, God knows they've been there, and they know they've been there in the presence of Jehovah. And you think about it. You say, things aren't going well in my life. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you got a hold of God? Some of you have never. You have never seriously opened your heart and gone to God in a deep, compassionate, unreserved way. Never. Never. And it'll take. Here it says, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. I'm talking about when you're with God, not just our novel little ditties of prayer that we use to impress ourselves and impress other people. I remember when I was working at the Great First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and I worked with Dr. Jack Hiles. There are those that would have said that as an assistant pastor, that I was favored by him. They would have said, you know, whatever you asked for your ministries, you always got it. You were favored by him. I went on staff, and I think it was in October, and by July, I was preaching to national meetings of 7,000 people. Just a very young man, fresh out of college. There are people who said, you were favored in him. It's like you were one of his favorites. Let me tell you, I don't know that that's true, but let me tell you what I think happened. When I went to be with him, when I would go to counseling sessions, when he and I would meet in private, I would bare my soul. No pretense. Never tried to impress him, ever. I went in thinking he knew it. I didn't. I'm not going in here trying to, you know, build up my ego or make myself look good in his presence. I virtually went in and I said, I want to learn. Take me apart. Put me back together. Whatever you've got to do. It wasn't a time of trying to impress the preacher. It was not a time of trying to prove to him how valuable I was. It was a time of, I just need your help. Teach me. And because of that, I think he knew there was no front. And here's your problem. You go to God with your front. Some of you need to get down to it. You need to tear back the gates that bind your heart. You need to get to God. You need to say, God, I'm not playing. God, I need you and I want you and I want you in my life. You bare your soul and remove all the barriers and boundaries and the religion and all of it and get to your God. And then God is going to say, you know what? I can show favor to that person. There's no front up. They're not still playing religion. They're real with me. I would go in and see Brother Hiles, and I'd say, Preacher, I blew it. I'd just walk right in and say, I just did something stupid. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't hurt the ministry. I didn't go in and say, well, let me give you all the reasons why I did it. I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for this person. Oh, no. Never. I walked in, and I said I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'll tell you something, Brother Gilles, that's how I go to God. I go to Him and I say, Lord, I did something stupid again. I'm sorry. And there's no good excuse. I'm not going to blame my mom. And I'm not going to blame my dad. I'm not going to blame my wife. I did it. And I am sorry, God. And I think God looks down and He says, Jeff, there's no game going on here with you. You came in to see me, and we actually spent time together. We didn't play games. We didn't have that humanity part of you putting that front up to say, well, God, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm dropping by to see you for a moment. No, you wallowed your way in on your belly with your face before me, realizing I was God, and you were a lonely human, and you just spilled your spiritual guts. You want the favor of God? You want something that Oprah Winfrey can't give you? Then you need to get a hold of God. But there's some of you, you'd rather live in your misery, wouldn't you? You would rather live in your misery and fail and fall and do without that favor, you see. You want the favor of God? What do? If you want the favor of God, then you've got to get that goodness back in your life. If you want the favor of God, you've got to seek the wisdom of God, seeing everything the way that God sees it. If you want the favor of God, you've got to learn to get a hold of God and pray and remove the false fronts when you go to Him. If you want the favor of God, you need to seek Him with your whole heart, the Bible says. Psalm 119, verse number 58, the Bible says this, I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. David said, God, I came to You, and I wanted Your favor in my life, but I did it with my whole heart. There's some of you, you're going to say today, Brother Owens, I want God's favor, but you won't be back to church tonight. So you come to one-third of the church services, maybe you can have one-third of the favor. You say, oh, God, David, I want Your help. And David said, God, when I got to seeking Your favor, I realized it was a no holds barred. I'm jumping all the way in. David begged for God's favor in a wholehearted way. You're half-hearted about the preaching, and you wonder why your Christian life is half a flop. Half-hearted about your service to God, and you wonder why you only get half the blessings. Let me ask you a question. Will you do anything that God wants you to do? Anything. What are you holding out on? David said, when I sought God's favor, I went to God with my whole heart. With my whole heart. I worked for a man by the name of Stuart McMillan. Very, very wealthy man, a multimillionaire, had multiple businesses overseas in the United States of America, in Indiana, in California. Some of you met him. He came here to visit. I went to work for Stuart McMillan. Everybody would tell you that ever worked for Stuart McMillan, I was his favorite. I was his favorite. He'd hire anybody I'd say hire. There are two or three men here that work there because I said, Stuart, you ought to hire that guy. He said, I'll hire him. Guy just loved me to death. Can I tell you why? Because when I walked into work, I was wholehearted about my work. Wholehearted. I didn't show up for work 5 minutes late. I showed up 10 minutes early, made sure everything was ready to roll. When it was time to flip on machines, they were flipped on. When it was time to produce, we were producing. When it was time to work, we were working. When it was time to sweat, we were sweating. I didn't spend 5 extra minutes on my lunch break. Didn't clean up 20 minutes before it was time to go home. When it was time to pitch in and make something happen, we made something happen. People would say, boy, Stuart, you're his pet. Well, I'll tell you why. I was wholehearted. Who wouldn't like to have a wholehearted employee? Brother Bob, back when you were in business, wouldn't you like to have a wholehearted employee, somebody that came in and they dug in and said, here we go, we're going to make this thing work. It might not be me making all the money, but you hired me to make money for you, and I'll make you a success. And that guy says, I like that fellow right there. I'm going to give him raises. I'm going to give him bonuses. I'm going to move him up. I am going to show my favor upon him. I remember the year Stuart gave me a car. I wonder what everybody else in the shop would have thought about that if they knew it. All the stories I could tell. Why? Wholehearted. Let me ask you a question. Are you wholehearted for God? Is that unreasonable? You say, I don't like that thing about the boss being wholehearted for the boss. Let me tell you who your boss really is. That's God. You might not like the idea of being wholehearted for the factory that you work for, although I think it is very scriptural. But let me tell you this, are you wholehearted for your God? Now, you're at the preeminent point of life. I mean, this is it. It doesn't get any higher or bigger or more mandate than that. Are you wholehearted for God? It is time for somebody in this building to go all the way for God. Quit playing around. Say, why? Why should I? All I'm trying to do is get the favor of God on your life. You don't want it? Fine. Reject the gift. Now, Bill Gates walked in and said, let me help you out. He'd say, oh, whoa, I got something better than that. Bill Gates is a pauper. Poverty stricken according or compared to God. You're crazy. You watch too much TV. God is the God of the universe. Bill Gates, he can't belch without God's permission. Oh, but if you're going to have the favor of God, there's some things you've got to do. Say, what is it, Brother Owens? Well, you've got to be alive. Let's see. Everybody but a couple in the balcony, one on the lower floor right now, I think you're alive. I got one that needs this more than anybody in this room, and they've slept through about three quarters of the sermon so far. You're brilliant. You are brilliant. Brilliant. What do you come to church for? Won't you come to let God do something for you? But if you're alive, you're on your way. If you're saved, you're double dog on your way. Now God says, all I want you to do is be good to people. All I want you to do is seek my wisdom, think my way, see life the way I see it. God said, I want you to meet with me and be real while you're with me. I want you to meet and talk with me and pour your heart out. And don't give me any of that front. Don't give me any of your religion. God doesn't need that. God needs you to be real with him. And then he said, if you'll do this, if you'll come with your whole heart, hold back nothing. Jump in, all the way, no holds barred. I'm in, God, whatever you want, I'll do anything you want. There's some of you already said, I'm not willing. Okay, then do without God's favor. Go ahead and struggle. Go ahead and goof your life up. Go ahead and go from defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. Go ahead. That's up to you. I'm just giving away free gifts today. I can't make you take it. What else you do? According to the Bible teaches that you need to practice mercy in your life to get God's favor. The Bible says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor of God and man. What is mercy? Mercy may be strength, loving, and helping weakness. Mercy is no revenge. Mercy is don't fight back just because you can win. Mercy is doing what is best for the other person. Mercy is the shock absorber of relationships. Mercy is not the absence of discipline. It is the presence of discipline, but there is kindness, gentleness, goodness, and humility when the discipline is being given out. Mercy is not letting everybody go free because they did something dumb, stupid, or sinful. Sometimes mercy is discipline, but there's somebody there to love all the time the discipline is going on saying, boy, it could be me. I've got to discipline you, but this could be me. If it were not for the mercy of God, it could be me. What kind of person are you? Merciful? God said, you're going to have mercy if you want me to favor you. Let me give you something else. You can find God's favor by standing for the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Why? Because you're going to find favor from God and man. Truth. What does it mean? We stand for the truth. How do we do it? We do it in a merciful way. I'm going to stand up and you listen to me. I want everybody here to understand something. I'm against booze. I'm against drinking beer. I'm against drinking wine. I'm against drinking whiskey. I'm against it. I think it's wrong and it's sinful and you shouldn't do it. But if you're here today, you say, Brother Owens, that's in my life. And let me tell you why I'm against it. Because it's eating up all your money. Because it's making you late for work. Because it's messing up your marriage and your kids. And it's going to rot out your liver. It's going to make you depressed. You're not going to know who your friends are. I hate it. I hate it, and it's wrong. Stop it. Why? Because I hate you? No, it's because I hate it. We can stand for truth in a merciful way. And we ought to. God said we will stand for truth at home and stand for truth at church and stand for truth at school and at work and with our families and stand up to yourself. God said, if you'll stand for truth, he said, I can favor you. Let me tell you something. There are some of you, and this is my fourth point, there are some of you who at one time had God's favor, but you lost it. It's really not much evident in your life anymore. Psalm 77:7 says, will the Lord cast off forever and will he be favorable no more? Let me ask you, has God's favor been removed from your life? Now you're just a body in church. You used to be a part of what was going on, didn't you? Now you're numb. You're like a zombie going through the motions. Some of you used to have God's favor. Some here have never had it. And I'm going to be honest with you. What a pitiful, lonely, empty life. You don't know what you're missing. I feel so bad for you. I feel so bad for some of you. You don't know what it's like to have the favor of God on your life. So that even when the tough times come, there's something about you that says it's going to be all right. I just know it. Some of you are so negative and doomsday kind of people and you've lived in such a dark pit so long. I hurt for you. I wish somehow you would receive this gift that I give you today. I wish somehow you would say, you know what? I want it. I'm alive. I'm saved. I'm willing. I want the favor of God. I've been waiting for something to happen to change this miserable life of mine around. I'm tired of being around the blessing of God. I want some of it in my life. I don't want to just go to a church that has it. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to go. There's some of you, you get so excited about the excitement. I wish that you could get excited about the exciter. There's some of you, you need it. You realize you're empty. You walk in and you admire the favor of God on other people, but you don't have it. I long, I just wish. I know I'm not doing a good job of it, but I want so bad to get this point across to you. You'd be so much happier, even in the trials of life. It's the favor of God. You had it once, but you choose a life of struggle because you don't seek the favor of God. I wish you had it. You say, but the ones, what are the benefits of the favor of God? Let me give you a couple benefits, and I'm done. I don't want to be done. But I'll be done. The benefits of the favor of God. The Bible says in Psalm 30, verse number 7, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Oh, one of the benefits of the favor of God is you stand strong. The burdens come and you get weighed down. The hardships come and the financial crunch comes. Your wife forsakes you, your husband forsakes you, and a friend forsakes you. But somehow, under all the pressure, you make it. And you keep on going. And people say, how does he do it? How does she do it? How does she survive it? How does he survive it? That God favors him. God favors her, they say. You can believe it. Because if you'll get the favor of God, the Bible says you'll stand strong like the mountain. Not arrogant, not cocky, just strong. Just strong. Have you ever noticed some who in a spiritual way have a special spiritual strength? You say, where'd they get that? Where did they get that? God just didn't say, okay, I think I'll give him my favor and her my favor and him my favor. God looked down and he said, all right, anybody that's alive, you have the potential of having my favor. If you're saved, you have the potential of having my favor. And God said, here's what it's going to take. You're going to have to practice the goodness and seek the wisdom of God. You're going to have to learn to pray. You're going to have to do it with your whole heart and be merciful to those that don't have it. And you're going to have to stand for truth. And then God said, I'm going to kick in with a strength like you have never seen before. Hey, bus captain, there's some of you, you're not going to get what you want out of life, especially on your bus route, until you get God's favor. Somebody in here will quit your bus route. Why? You don't have God's favor on your life, and you hate the lack of results. Some preacher will quit. They'll quit. They do it all the time. I watch them around the nation. They say, Brother Owens, I don't know what's wrong here. We're not going anywhere. Our church is not going anywhere. We're not getting anybody saved. What's wrong? Somebody wanted God's favor on their life, and somebody else didn't pay the price. You get strength to keep going with God's favor. With God's favor. With God's favor, you can keep on going. Secondly, you get victories in your life. Listen to this, Psalm 41:11 says, by this I know that thou favors me because mine enemies doth not triumph over me. The psalmist said, I know you favor me because sometimes I'm outnumbered, but somehow, God, I keep coming out on top. Oh, they knock me down, but I get back up. I get back up. Some of you, if you get knocked down, you're down for months. Some of you got knocked down, you've been down for years. Why? You were playing the church game. You're going to be a part of this work. You better get in it for real because the devil's shooting with real bullets around here. These are not war games at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. There's something real big going on around here, and you better get in the battle. Well, you don't have much choice. Even on your way out, you're probably going to get shot in the back by somebody. Probably be one of your fellow Christians. Friendly fire. The Bible says here that one of the signs of the favor of God is God brings victories in your life. I feel bad for some of you. I don't see how some of you make it without the favor of God. You go from defeat to defeat to defeat to defeat to defeat. There's coming a day when your own personal character is going to wear out. Somehow you struggle to get yourself back up. You didn't pray. You didn't get right with God. You didn't spend extra time in your Bible. You don't give like you're supposed to give, but somehow you'll always barely survive it. Well, that's not going to last forever. The devil's going to wear you down. He's going to take you out, and you will be a casualty someday. You need the strength and the victories that the favor of God brings. Loss after loss after loss after loss after loss after loss is not a good sign. Christians in God's favor even win victories when the chips are down. It may not always be the victory that we think they ought to win, but there is victory somewhere there. Because the Bible teaches that all things work together for good to those who are called of God, who are chosen according to His purpose. You see, Brother Owens, you say, Brother Owens, what do you get out of the favor of God? Well, you get strength. You get victories in life. You also get the power of God and the God of the power. 2 Samuel 15:25, it says, "And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city, if I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord." It's talking about the ark of the covenant. Two things about the ark of the covenant. Number one, it pictured God's presence, and it also pictured God's power. People that have the favor of God sense the presence of God. They have the presence of God and the power of God on them.
Yes.
Is the power of God upon you? Do you want it? Do you want the presence of God? There's some people that come to church and walk out delighted. They feel like, God was there. I noticed it. God was there. Some walk in, walk out, run right back out and do the same things they did before they got here. Just a spiritual ritual. You see, the favor of God means strength. It means victory. It means power. It means the presence of God. One last thing and I'm done. This thing of the favor of God can produce favor with man. Listen. Listen what it says about Daniel. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor of the tender love of the prince of the eunuchs. The Bible says Jesus, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and man." The children of Israel, it says, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians." The Bible says of Joseph in Genesis 39:21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison." Something that I've learned. People who get along with God learn the skill to get along with people. People that can get along with God learn the skill to get along with people. So, Brother Owens, I just can't get along with people. Then you need to get along with God better. That's all there is to it. Joseph was in a prison, and because Joseph had favor with God, God gave him the ability to have favor with man. Daniel was in the prison and he was a captive. He was a slave. But he worked his way all the way to the top. Why? He had gotten with the God of the universe, and God said, "It doesn't matter to me if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter to me if you were born in riches. I can get you to the top, Daniel. You just get with me and I'll get you with the right men." You see, people that have favor with God can have favor with man. And most people that go around, and they're always in trouble with somebody in the church. Man, can't get along with anybody. Negative about this, griping about that. Always fixing your problems. You are merely putting a great big sign above your head that says, "No favor with God. No favor with man." So how am I going to get along with people? Well, why don't you try this? Why don't you try the same thing that helps you to get favor of God? Why don't you try goodness and using wisdom with people and talking honestly with people? The very same things that work with the favor with God. I'm finished. I don't want to be. Oh, I don't want to be. There's some of you, I feel like we need to have a review. I think I need to have some of you stand and quote back to me some of the points. There's some of you, I wish I could slap you and wake you up. Oh, but I'll tell you what, life will slap you tomorrow. Again. Again. Why? You got a better idea than God's. You're just going to keep hoping that Oprah shows up. The Bible says that Mary was highly favored. Know something, Brother Bush? I want to do that. I want to do what I just taught. That's what I want. I want to do it. Brother Ronnie, I want that. I want a big old chunk of that right there. I want my church to be favored. But you know what? My church won't be favored unless you are. Because you are the church. It's the greatest gift I know to give you. To have the favor of God. It can't get any better than that. If you're not saved, As you can see, we're not playing church here. Not at all. We mean it. We believe there's a holy God, and that holy God has a holy way about Him and a holy way for us. I believe God's spoken to hearts very deeply today. I think some of you that are lethargic, you're numb about your Christianity, I think God got to some of you today. There's some people you need to use this altar today. Let me start with those that have never trusted Christ. If you're alive, God kept you alive because He has favored you. He wants to save you so He can start your life out so you can go on and succeed and get the favor of God in your future. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get saved. I'm not talking about religion now. I'm not talking about giving your money. You can give all the money in the world to the church and still die and go to hell. I'm not talking about you were baptized, because getting baptized never has saved anybody and never will. I'm not talking about you turning over a new leaf. I think you ought to turn over a new leaf, but it won't save you. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm good to my neighbor. That won't save you. It won't save you. You say, I'm a church member. It won't save you. Jesus Christ died for you and was buried for you and was resurrected for you, and you must turn to Him and say, I can't save myself, Jesus. Come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, and save me. That's what will save you. Somebody here, it's time for you to turn your life around. You're alive. You've got the first step. Number two, you need to get saved. Who here would say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know, I'd go to heaven. I'm not saved. Pray for me. And you'll raise your hand right now and say, pray for me. I'm not saved. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know, I'd go to heaven. If you're not saved, in a moment we're going to have an altar call. In a moment the instrumentalists will begin to play, and when they begin to play, we'll stand. And when we stand, the choir will sing. But the moment that begins, you leave your place and you walk down the aisle. You walk up to one of the men that will be standing down front. The assistant pastors will be down front standing and facing the crowd. Walk up to them and say, I'm not saved. And somebody will take a Bible in a matter of a few minutes, help you to get saved. If you've been saved and never baptized after your salvation, get it cared for today. But don't you let anything stop you from using this altar. Somebody needs to come today and say, God, I'm coming today. I want your favor. I'm jumping in all the way. I'm not holding back anymore. Don't let that balcony stop you. If you need to leave the seat in the balcony and go down that back staircase and come back in, you do that. Don't let sitting in the choir stop you. I believe God's dealing with hearts in a powerful way this morning, and let's let it happen. Let's let God move. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I want the favor of God in my life, and I don't have it like I used to, or I've never had it, but I want it, and God's spoken to me in a special way today. Would you raise your hand? There are hands all over the building. Maybe you need this old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.